This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Hi, I'm Richard Gershon, the host of In Legal Terms and a professor at the University of Mississippi School of Law. If you miss a live In Legal Terms episode, find our podcast, inlegalterms.mpbonline.org.
From MPB Think Radio, this is Money Talks. I'm Jermaine Flood, filling in for Kevin Farrell today, along with Dr. Nancy Lottridge Anderson, president of New Perspectives, and Ryder Taft, portfolio manager at New Perspectives. Nancy and Ryder are both chartered financial analysts, and Ryder also holds the certificate in investment performance measurement from the CFA Institute. On Money Talks, we answer your personal finance questions. Today, we'll also talk about slashing from your budget, what the website GoBankingRates.com calls useless expenses. Contact us by email. The address is money@mpbonline.org. To start the show each week, as Kevin would grandly do, we talk about financial news in the news. Hello, Ryder. Hello, Nancy. I'm sure both of you all.
Good morning.
I am glad to be here to talk about things that I don't do, which is keep good finances.
Well, this is good. We have the examples and the counterexample. We're going to have a vigorous back and forth.
Right. Before we get in the news, Ryder, I just want you to know there is a little Ryder always in my head when I'm out.
Oh, no.
He's about maybe a half inch tall. And he's in my brain. And when I think about this morning, literally, I was like, oh, do I want coffee? And then I thought Ryder wouldn't buy a cup of coffee.
Ryder was at coffee shop beforehand. Jermaine, you should have joined me at the coffee shop.
See, that's not fair.
We would have had a good time and we would have chatted about these things. I'm getting the picture of the angel and the devil on your shoulder here. And I'm not sure which one I am here.
Right.
If I'm not letting you have coffee in the morning, ugh.
I'm scared, Nancy. I feel like you and Ryder are like the principal and the vice principal of money.
No, I'm not. I'm not Suze Orman here.
Yes.
Like, come on, you can live your life.
I'm sorry. I feel like I'm on the chopping block right now.
No,
we don't want to be that. We want to be the cheerleader.
Yes. I want you to live a good life, but also have good finances. And I believe you can do both. And I believe all of our listeners can too.
I really do, Ryder. It's like literally I'm out there going, no, Ryder wouldn't do that. So Ryder
wants you to be happy, Jermaine. Remember that.
Ryder,
keep that in mind.
Ryder, what you got in the news today? What you got?
Wow, besides my shocking persona here. so last week, actually, like almost directly after our show, last week, we had tornadoes and high winds and thunderstorms come through. And so I know we often do kind of a disaster preparedness thing in hurricane season. But natural disasters can happen kind of anytime, especially when we're talking tornadoes here in Mississippi. So preparation is what's going to keep this from being disastrous to your finances, right? So if you're a homeowner, you probably have homeowner's insurance. You probably have auto insurance. Make sure, always good to make sure you know, probably should know this off the top of your head, what your sort of deductibles are. So if you know, okay, I have a $1,000 deductible on my car insurance. I have $1,000, $2,000, $5,000 on my homeowner's insurance, and know how much. So that gives you an idea of how much cash in an emergency situation you might need. That's part of one of those things we add into there. So having cash to meet those deductible, but also other non-covered expenses. It's not free to live if you have a car or a house destroyed. You're going to need money for that too.
Right.
We often talk about knowing where your documents are, your important documents, where those are stored, knowing who to contact, emergency contact numbers. And one thing I always think is so, so important is knowing your network of resources. So who are people out of town? And whenever, during hurricane season, I always have friends from New Orleans calling and saying, hey, if this is really bad and we have to evacuate, can I come stay with you?
Right.
I'm 2.5 hours up the road. Absolutely, yes. Who can you stay with out of town? Who is available to help you clean up? This is super important. We've got a lot of senior citizens living on their own, who can they rely on? Who can they call to help out with things? Who has that deep freezer in your neighborhood with a lot of extra food when you when your own freezer runs out?
Or a lot of extra space right? when yours goes out.
Absolutely, absolutely. So kind of, it's not that every single person needs their generator and their solar panels and their chainsaw and their pickup truck, but you need to know who has those things so that, you know, in that emergency situation, if you do need those, you know who you can call on.
Yeah. So natural disasters, that is an important thing to be able to be prepared for. Dr. Nancy, what do you have that's going on in the news?
Well, spring doesn't just bring tornadoes. It's a great time for home maintenance.
I thought you were going to say pollen.
No, not just that. But I spent a lot of time this past week talking to someone who was having serious plumbing issues. And, you know, your home is an investment. It's one of your assets, mm-hmm. and you want to maintain it. And often some of those issues are lumpy issues with a huge plumbing problem. You need a new AC unit because the summer is coming on in Mississippi. You need a new roof. Those are things you should not delay, because if you do, then that asset could deteriorate. So it's very important that you maintain that. And for most people, if you've been in your house for a while, you've seen the value go up. You've built up some equity in the house. So it's really important that you take care of that. And hopefully, as Ryder mentioned, with storms, you want to have some emergency cash to cover things. But if you don't, then, you know, last resort would be looking at a home equity line of credit. We are seeing higher interest rates now. But don't delay some of that maintenance. This is an important part of your overall portfolio. For many people, when they're talking about diversity within their portfolio, real estate needs to be part of it. And for most people, that is their home.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, between natural disasters and home maintenance, basically they kind of go hand in hand. And then just thinking about it down the road, preparation definitely will help keep your bottom line low, you know? So make sure you're getting prepared for all of these things. Ryder and Nancy, we want to talk about some of these useless expenses as well. I want to get into some of this because I am definitely the queen of useless expenses.
Oh, no. What do you spend on uselessly? What is it?
Take your pen and paper out. Lego sets. I'm just like
Lego
Kevin.
Sets.
I'm just like Kevin. Kevin loves Lego sets, and I love Lego sets,
you
too.
You love Lego sets.
Yes. I have no space to really put them somewhere, but I build them, and I find a space, and I keep buying them.
But you love them.
Yes, L-O-V-E.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, why is it useless to have something that you love?
I don't know, Ryder.
Is
what
love
I
useless?
Feel. That's what I
ask.
Feel like. That's one of my guilty pleasures, Nancy, is Lego sets. So,
well, I'm all for giving to spending your money on things that give you joy.
Okay.
You know?
Absolutely. All right, Marie Kondo.
Yes, absolutely. And economics is all about choices, Jermaine. Mm-hmm. So you only have so much in resources, so much money, and you have to choose how to spend it. So you should be spending it on the things that really do give you pleasure and joy and things you love. But where you really want to wring out those extra expenses are things that really don't do anything for you.
Yeah.
Right. So think about when you look around your house in your mind's eye, or look at your last long shopping receipt. What are the things that don't bring? What are the things that say, oh, man, I did not need that? And it could be any, maybe not just a Lego set that you didn't enjoy as quite as much as you want, but maybe there was some other shopping that you didn't enjoy. Maybe it was a meal you were just like, you know, I've really, like, that wasn't very good, and I've had some leftovers in the fridge I had to throw out because I didn't, you know. So what are those things? That would be those expenses that you can cut out. Because if you go through your budget and you assign a dollar value to your budget and you cut some things out, that's fine. But then if you go through your budget and you assign some emotional value to it, the emotional value you receive, the things that you love. And if you go through and cut out all the things that you love, is that like,
Am I living
like
a happy
life? Your little half inch rider standing on your shoulder, I do not, he is not advocating for that.
This rider.
He's advocating for you cutting out the things that you don't love.
Yeah.
You know, because you want to maximize that enjoyment. You want to maximize, like Nancy said, the joy you have in your life and minimize the dollars.
Right. And I think,
what about the things that you don't use? For instance, a subscription that you don't use, a magazine that comes to your house that you never open, a streaming service that you've forgotten about. A speeding ticket, which gives you no joy.
I don't know. Some people like
money
driving dangerously. I hope people would calm down on these roads, but some people do seem to enjoy that.
Maybe a gym membership that you never use.
That's what I was going to say. I am guilty, and the only reason is because I think I'm going to use it one day, and I just need it to just make me feel better. Why? I don't know. But I have not gone. I am paying right now, yeah. Nancy, and hadn't stepped in probably, I want to say, 365.
Yeah. Okay, so look at that number. How long has it been since you've gone?
I know.
How much are you paying, and what could you have done with that money that would have been more useful?
Right. Listen, I need somebody to relate with me right now. Please. Ryder and Nancy are going to answer my questions and your personal finance questions. You can send an email to money@mpbonline.org. We're going to jump into some more of these useless expenses. You're listening to Money Talks. Our website, moneytalks.mpbonline.org, is one way to hear past Money Talks broadcast. You can also download the MPB Public Media app and listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand. I'm Jermaine Flood, filling in for Kevin Farrell, alongside Dr. Nancy Lottridge Anderson, president of New Perspectives, and Ryder Taff, portfolio manager at New Perspectives. Nancy and Ryder are here to answer your and my personal finance questions.
We're definitely answering yours.
Also today, we're talking about slashing from your budget what the website GoBankingRates.com calls useless expenses. Let's get back to some useless expense talk. Ryder and I were talking on the break, Nancy, about gifts. I was telling Ryder, I am the uber gifter to the point where I literally buy gifts ahead in advance, gifts and greeting cards, just in case I need something loaded into the chute to give to someone.
I do admire the planning ahead and the preparation for these things, because right, going and buying a handful of gift cards or greeting cards ahead of time is probably a lot easier on the budget and also like less stressful and less time consuming than running out. Oh my goodness, it's Liz Gill's birthday tomorrow. Let's go.
Birthday is in my drawer right now because it's May.
It's ready to go.
It's in May.
See?
It's ready.
See, she's ready. She's got this thing figured out.
Well, Jermaine, I would ask you, what pleasure does that give you? What does that do for you when you give a gift?
So this is something that I'm wrestling with. So I heard this guy who's online, Vince Staples, talk about how he doesn't like to give gifts or receive gifts. Mm-hmm. And it's because he feels like the gift is for the gifter and not the giftee.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because the gifter wants to see the giftee accept the gift and have a reaction to the gift. I don't know. Most of the time, they want it to be positive and not negative.
I get
negative.
That for sure.
But for me, yes, that portion of it, yeah. I also know that I've probably bought something that they would like, and possibly they would feel joy out of receiving that.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
So it's for both me and them, I guess. And I'm not so selfish. Like,
well,
if they didn't like it, I would be like, oh, well, you can take that back. You know.
That's not a good gift.
What you need, though, is a gift budget. Because if this is something that's really important to you and you want to make sure you remember and acknowledge the people around you, family and friends, But if you had a budget, like a monthly budget, this is how much I can spend on gifts. And if you can track that one thing, you know, a lot of us are not good at overall budgeting. We're not tracking every single thing. But if this is the one thing where you kind of go overboard, then if you just track that and limit what you're doing every month, you can still be able to do those things and make those gifts, but it's much more reasonable for you based on your overall budget.
Yeah, and the time at which I do it. So, you know, Liz's gift was bought this month, even though her birthday is next month.
That's planning ahead again. I mean, but I hope she's not listening right now, but right. Wait, what'd you get? No.
Right. Funny thing, though, Ryder, you were talking about, you know, cards and, and, you know, just possibly going with just a greeting card and not doing a full gift. But what I found funny online was there was this couple who had went into the store together, like, let's just say into the greeting card store together, and they both went shopping for greeting cards for each other. And they found the one that they liked, and they turned around. And they handed it to each other, and they read it, and they laughed and said, thank you. And then they put the card back on the shelf and walked out the store.
Grace, that's what we call a success story. Suze Orman would be so proud.
I know, not for the retailer.
Oh, my gosh.
So
it's
that's
like going
a way.
To the bookstore and just like reading the magazine off the rack.
Yes.
And we're like, oh, that was nice little
It was
nice little
it was kind of cute, though. It was kind of romantic.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Very budget romantic, but yeah. So I don't know. What else are some useless expenses, Ryder, that people spend on?
Well, I think a lot of these things we kind of have to talk about are kind of junk fees or just things that really anybody can avoid paying. And we talk a lot about aligning your expenses with your values, and something like banking fees and credit card interest and, you know, things that have like an obvious coupon or discount to them. You know, paying money on banking fees doesn't really align with anyone's values unless you just like, you know, the banking industry really
needs my help.
You know, call today for $1 a day. You can support the banking industry. I think they're going to be okay, actually. But so your values will kind of tell you about the other things you care about. So do you really care about your Legos? Do you really care about your gym membership? Not just like, oh, I might use that gym membership, but like going to the gym is good for me and gives me pleasure. Like if you're just not going to do it, just don't do it. Like, if you're not going to commit to doing it, commit to not doing
it. Right, because literally you can go tomorrow and get your gym membership back.
You absolutely can. Or you could just walk around the block tomorrow. You know,
there's
options. So, but for some people, that more expensive gym or a gym membership at all is the thing they like and treasure and value, and they're willing to cut out something else in exchange. So that's maybe one way to think about it, about how to understand your own values, especially with these smaller little things where we're like, oh, I could avoid this, but I don't really feel like avoiding it. Is there something that you would spend that $10 on rather than this, or is this the best use of that $10 or whatever the dollars are?
Right, right. Nancy, how do you feel about it?
Well, I think a lot of people tend to spend without thinking about it. And often if it is an item, if you have the opportunity to just say, well, let me think about this overnight and go back the next day. So many times when I go back the next day, I think, gosh, that really doesn't do anything for me. I just thought that was just the thing I had to have yesterday, but maybe not so much. Maybe I went home and looked at my closet and realized I have three other black tops that look just like that. Now, where I get into trouble, Jermaine, is when I travel, because when I travel is when I think, but I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I'm not coming back to this spot.
Or, Nancy, mine is, it's the last one on the rack.
Ooh,
that hurts you. The last one on the rack will get you. So, yeah, I have that problem. I do. And then another way, I don't know if this is a good financial way to help combat some of this heavy shopping. So I have a tendency to, let's just say, go to the big box store, pull out a big shopping cart, and I call it throw it in the cart, right? And I go through and I do what you, I guess you would call it, like, you know, binge shopping real fast. I want this. I want this. I'm like a little kid. I want it. I want it. I want it. So I throw it in the cart and I walk around with it in the cart. I kind of own it for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't purchased it.
Uh-huh.
But it's on. It's in my possessions. It's next to me. So I walk around with it in the cart and eventually, poor store. As I'm walking through it, I'm leaving things in random places.
That's why
that they didn't need to be.
So you're the reason why I see things like butter in the the produce section.
Yes,
that just hurt my feelings, Jermaine.
And then look, when
I'm gonna call into the radio every time I see this. I'm gonna be like, Jermaine, give me Jermaine.
Right, I've worked at a department store before. I've been there. I've had to put all those things back.
And so what'll end up happening? I still have a lot of stuff when I get up to the register. So when I get up, there's a vetting process at register. So you pick out the things that you want first, and you put them on the belt, and then the things that you don't want stay in the cart. And then at the end you go, y'all can put that up.
If I ever am doing my grocery shopping and I see Jermaine in the store, I'm simply gonna leave because I don't want to run the risk I end up in the line behind her.
Let me tell you though, this is a good trick for children. Because when you get, I've done this with a child.
I'm paying attention now.
I've done this with a child before. You take a child in. They're going to say, I want this, everything at their eyesight. I want it, I want it, I want it. And I'm game for it. I'm like, put it in the cart. Put it, we call it put it in the cart. Put it in the cart. No. Put it in the cart. And then once we get the cart full, I look at the child and I say, oh, we got a lot of stuff in this cart. I think we
put it on the shelf. Put it on the shelf. It's two games in one.
But look, I say, well, we got to pick out our favorite three things that we've got in this cart. And they'll pick the favorite thing, the three. We put the others back. We push around with those three. Then you get to the end and you say, ooh, we got to pick our favorite toy, the one that we really like. They pick that one, then you put the other two back. And then you've walked out with one thing that you've purchased for this child, and they've wanted 20 of them. Is that good, Nancy?
I hope we don't get any calls on this.
golly. I can just see meltdowns at the cash register.
No, it worked. It worked.
Have a meltdown on this radio show, Nancy. What are you talking about?
You can't do it just at register. You have to do it throughout the entire store. It just can't come down to register where you're doing it.
So one strategy here that I would like to share, a personal story that's somewhat related, is I, 1 year for Lent, I gave up sugar. And so I just, you know, didn't eat sweets. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that was great. And then the day after Lent, of course, I ate like five slices of cake and I felt awful. And I decided maybe I should like go easy on sugar. Maybe I should go easy on sweets. So the way I consume less sugar and less sweets and less desserts is simply not getting them in the first place. You know, not having that temptation. So if your problem is I'm always going to grab that last thing and go on the rack, I'm always going to have at least one thing that I didn't need coming out with me.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just not go?
Yeah.
Why not just
stay
just
home?
Don't. I mean, this is America. There are 100,000 things you could do with your time.
Yeah.
You do not have to go to the store.
And you don't have to take your child with you.
If you recognize that you are doing some, like we say, useless spending. If you look at your receipt, if you look at all the things you bought and you're like, you know, I love these Legos that I got. Mm-hmm. I needed this milk, eggs, and bread that I got. But on this shirt, which is just like all the other shirts that were the last ones on the rack. Well, maybe just limit the amount of time and number of times you go to the store, go in there with a list. We're big fans of going in with a list. There are just ways you can kind of put another barrier in between you and whatever that bad habit is.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Well, I love it. Nancy and Ryder are here to answer those personal finance questions. This is Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. Money Talks is MPB Think Radio's personal finance broadcast. I'm Jermaine Flood, filling in for Kevin Farrell, along with Dr. Nancy Lottridge Anderson, president of New Perspectives, and Ryder Taft, portfolio manager at New Perspectives. Nancy and Ryder are both chartered financial analysts, and Ryder also holds a certificate in investment performance measurement from the CFA Institute. If you'd like to order a little rider for yourself, it's about a half inch tall. Both Nancy and Ryder are ready to answer your personal finance questions as well. But we're talking about slashing some needless expenses from your budget. Nancy, what are maybe another one of those useless expenses?
Well, we've already mentioned some of those credit card fees, but watch out for late fees. Any kind of late fee is just like, you know, money that's spent for nothing. And that means you need to stay organized with your bill paying. And, of course, late fees can end up hurting your credit record. So that's another reason to pay attention to those. But those late fees can add up 25. I've even seen some of them at $50 a whack. That's a lot that you could have spent on something else that you would have gotten a lot of pleasure out of.
Right. You're right. And then possibly maybe a way around that is doing like, what is that, the bank draft? That way you're always on time?
Right.
Okay.
Right. And you can even with your bank accounts now on a credit cards, because those amounts fluctuate, but you can still set up for automatic payments that run with those cards so you don't ever miss those.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good tip. Ryder, you've got another one?
Yeah, so and I like thinking about how all of these little expenses can add up, but a kind of a broader thing to think about that sometimes encompasses a lot of these is what does your lifestyle look like? You know, do you live far away from your work, and so are you spending a lot of money on gas? And then, and of course, we can't just every day change where we live or change our jobs or things like that, but the way we approach our budget will change at different points in our life, at different ages. You know, so when you're a young person, think about where am I going to live? Well, think about what are the resources you want to be near? What's your favorite grocery store? Where do you like going out? Where do your friends live? And you want to be close to those. But of course, you don't want to live in a too expensive area.
Yeah.
Things like that. All of those lifestyle decisions. Am I a person who eats out a lot? Do I stay in and watch Netflix? Am I really into my Legos? Those sort of decisions will end up, you know, coloring a whole lot of your smaller expenses as well. So think about those. Again, you know, I think about how your values dictate your spending and how your value, you know, how your spending aligns with your values, but also how does your lifestyle align with all those? How is your lifestyle leading to more expenses or less expenses?
Right. And in kind of that same vein of lifestyle, I was thinking, you know, sometimes you can get wrapped up in keeping up with the Joneses.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're not the Joneses.
Right.
You're just a Smith. You
exactly.
know?
And that's why it's important to say, what is your lifestyle, right? What are the things that are important to you? Yes, it's important to your neighbor that he has landscapers coming twice a week and, you know, with little scissors trimming every single blade of grass. And I'm not saying just let your yard, you know, just fall apart, but please don't drive by my house. But there are ways to have a lower maintenance lawn. There are ways that you can take care of a lot of that yourself. Take up gardening and landscaping as a hobby. Grow a clover lawn, for instance. Have a lower maintenance lawn. Things like that. You don't have to be just like somebody else who may have different values.
Right.
Who may have a different lifestyle than
and
you.
We have a lot of research about money and happiness. Does money buy happiness? And what
it buys Legos, and Legos make us happy.
You better get you a good set.
But most of the time, we are happier when we spend for experiences. So whether it's having a nice meal somewhere, taking a trip, and we're happier when those experiences involve other people, our friends and family, that we then create memories with what we've spent money on. So that means when we go into the store and buy this stuff, it probably doesn't make us happy. And I'm starting to reach that point in dealing with aging parents and clearing out houses full of stuff and thinking about how much stuff that accumulates and starting to think about, well, what do I want my legacy to be? When I'm no longer here, do I just want it to be a whole pile of stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about that because I saw online, you know, people make fun of their grandmother's kitchen. And because it's always some old stuff that's, you know, expired in 99 in the cabinet. But my grandmother would always tell me, go in there. There's something in there and you'd look and it would be expired. And she'd say, no, it's good. I think they were trying to save money. I think our grandparents were actually trying to save, and that's why they've got cabinets full of stuff, you know. When you go in there later,
I might need that later, or yeah, somebody else is gonna like. If you're, you know, and again, that's why the question is: does this bring me joy? Mm-hmm. Not do I think this is gonna bring my grandchildren joy? You can't answer that question mm-hmm. for them. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't. And if they say no, you just go ahead and let that go.
Right. So I think joy, too, is maybe something that could be defined. So is joy a full feeling of happiness, or is joy a quick, fleeting feeling of happiness? So then you have to determine what really makes you feel joy, you know?
Well, we try to encourage people to feel joyful when they open up their 401k statement. Because, you know, delaying that gratification means that you can save, and that's what we preach about saving. Mm-hmm. Yes, you want to spend on things that you enjoy now, but don't lose sight of what the future lifestyle that you want to have, mm-hmm. and what is that going to look like, and how do you not spend on things now so that you can save and store up and be ready for that?
Right. Right, right. Well, one thing I think gives people joy, like you were saying, Nancy, is going out and having experiences with people. But sometimes you can have too many, like attending too many weddings. Is that that's a useless expense, right? How do you feel about that, Ryder?
Well, I mean, weddings are a lot of fun. But obviously we're talking about when you have to travel, stay in a hotel. Those things add up so quickly. And I went to a conference, and I was surprised at how expensive the flight, not a particularly exotic destination, the flight, the hotel, how much that ended up costing me. And then, of course, like you've mentioned, there, even though the wedding may take care of a lot of your, you know, you have your food, you have your mm-hmm. entertainment there, but you're still going to want breakfast. You're still going to want lunch. You're still probably going to run out and go shopping because you left something at home. So there are a lot of expenses there. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of, don't think, oh, does this person bring me joy? But is this wedding something that's going to be important to me? Is it going to be important years from now for me to share these pictures and share these stories about how I attended this person's wedding?
Yeah.
Or is it not? I think in
that
case.
What if they get divorced?
So with every wedding, just flip a coin, you know.
That's another thing too, you know, with weddings, when it comes down to, let's just say you're the bridesmaid, sometimes you got to buy your own bridesmaid's dress. And are you the bridesmaid, the favorite, you know, bridesmaid, or are you just a fill-in?
Are you one of 16?
Right. Are you a fill-in?
Right.
Like,
right. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, I don't want to diminish anyone else's joy, right? Like, if you are actually somebody's best friend and they care, but, you know, you don't want to be like, oh, I'm just going to be a jerk and like not play a role in your wedding that is really important to you. Yeah. I would try to be a better friend than that. But again, you know, there are just so many that are, oh, this is, maybe I'm a plus one that doesn't really even need to come. Mm-hmm. I'm not actually. Are you excited mm-hmm. about going to this wedding? Mm-hmm. Are you looking forward to going to this wedding? Are you looking forward to being just a part of this couple's life?
Right.
And if you're not, you don't have to go. Right. You don't have to go.
Right. Well, the number, if you want to get in on this convo, 1-877-MPB-RING. That's 1-877-672-7464. Nancy, talk about dining out. That's a big one that I think everybody deals with on a daily basis.
Well, you know, Ryder is notorious for this
one.
I love dining out.
He started itching right when I started. When I said it.
Yeah. Now, I will say I want to be particular about where I dine out. And now, if I'm traveling, okay, I'm going through a fast food restaurant. I'm just on my way. But I want it to be an experience. I want it to be something I can enjoy. I love dining out with friends. So that's a fun thing. Mm-hmm. We in the office, we make dining out a weekly ritual, you know. So Tuesdays, you will find us out in a restaurant somewhere because that's important to us to spend that time. And I also like to dine at local places rather than chains, but that's just my personal preference. And choosing something that's a little different and that feels nice. But that's just one of the things that I want to make sure I carve out space in my budget to do that because that's important to me.
Yeah,
absolutely. If it's important to you, again, if you truly love dining out and get pleasure beyond just, oh, that was a good meal. But there can be so many times when you're eating out, maybe you're stopping at fast food, maybe a little more than you want to, and you're just like, I mean, I just could have done that myself. I could have prepared a lunch. So there wasn't anything special about that meal. So think about those meals. You know, are they special? You know, Nancy mentioned eating at local restaurants. Like, that's part of the getting a unique experience out of it that you like. I went and got gumbo and chicken on a stick from a restaurant that was located inside a car wash the other day. That's a unique experience right there. You know, you can still think, do I value this? Is it the dining out, or was I just hungry?
Or could it be that I am lazy or pressed for time and don't have time to be able to prepare a meal?
Well, I'm not going to say anybody's lazy.
So sometimes I'm paying a convenience fee for them to cook it for me.
Right.
Yeah, no matter what the meal is, more than likely, I think. For some, I guess. But yeah, that's a big one. Everybody has a dining out issue. But if you want to get on the conversation, you can still join in. You can send an email to money@mpbonline.org. You're listening to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. Dr. Nancy, I want you to know something. We got a text message from an old friend of ours named Jason, and Jason said he was trying to imagine Ryder at half an inch.
Yeah. A little bit taller than that.
He is, but he was trying to imagine. So this is what I thought. If New Perspectives made a minifig Ryder that y'all could give out and have the logo and everything on it, and it would be like, what would Ryder do?
Well, it needs to have like a little ring at the back of his neck so you can pull it and there'll be settings.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't you think?
Yeah, you could.
It talks to you.
Yeah, a little button or something that you, and he'd be like, don't buy that cup of coffee.
No. He would say, do you like coffee? It's okay.
Do you love the coffee?
Yeah.
If not, put the coffee down.
No, he'd be talking about Roth account.
Be like that lady that talks about spark and joy. Does this spark joy?
This is spark joy.
Do you value your coffee or your Roth IRA more?
Yep.
Hey, look, plenty of days. It's the coffee. As long as you make the time, as long as you've got that savings going on, I'm going to be happy for you. You can put that clip right in that minifigure. Go for it.
Nancy, for I it. Need one, and I think it would help me with my finances. Help me keep my finances together.
I cannot wait for the next.
It's going to wear a little puffy vest.
Yeah.
Hey, it's turned really hot here. I'm not wearing that today, Nancy. That's old news. You got to wait till, I don't know, October, November. When does it get cold again? I don't. January?
It's got outfits.
Blue dress pants.
Yeah, it's got outfits. I mean, you can switch them out for the seasons.
No, he never switches out.
Oh, okay. Same thing.
No, I don't have outfits. I have outfit.
That's what I know. Ace. And, you know, I think about you, Ryder. I never.
Yeah, Jermaine, have you ever seen me wearing anything other than what I'm wearing today?
Nancy, I'm never on the show, but I don't know why I think about Ryder so much. And I'm never on the show, but I always think Ryder's only got like four pairs of pants and like four shirts. And he goes through those on the daily.
She thinks I have four pairs of pants.
I ran into Ryder one time at a coffee shop. We ran into each other and he was not wearing his typical outfit. I didn't know if I recognized him at first.
Well, it was the weekend, so I probably had just a t-shirt on instead.
Yeah, he has a weekend outfit that is just a t-shirt. I won't call it white because, you know, it's
four jeans, past white, four tees. Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. That's my imagining of Ryder.
Can we put him on a keychain?
And I can just imagine him being like, no, we ain't going to get the baby that today. The baby can't have that today.
Baby needs a 529. Baby doesn't need that.
Well, listen, we got a couple of minutes. If you've got a question or if you just want to get tickled about just spending your own money, send an email to money@mpbonline.org. We've got to mass produce those little riders.
I cannot wait for the next drive time giveaways. It's gonna be great.
We're getting them done, Ryder. Nancy, I want to get back into some more useless spending talk. When it comes down to maybe things like what's coming up next, excessive heat and air conditioning. You know, air is a big thing in the summer.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, and you want to stay cool. But one of the main things that we do at my house is we have a thermostat that we program. Mm-hmm. And also that thermostat knows when we are not at the house, mm-hmm. and so it can go into a lower mode and not use as much energy. Mm-hmm. And in the wintertime, we set it so that it bumps down at night because I like to sleep where it's a little bit cooler. Most people do better in a cooler temperature. So having a programmable thermostat is one of the best things that you can do. And when we got ours, there were some things available through Entergy and through the gas company that allowed us to basically get it for free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that one kind of always surprises me. I have a programmable thermostat. I've kind of always had programmable thermostats, but it always kind of surprises me when that's thrown out as a recommendation. But so many people don't have programmable thermostats. And just to make it complicated for people, there's like I just searched for programmable thermostats on a major home improvement store, and there's over 100 programmable thermostats that they have.
Yeah.
They range from $20-$30 to a couple $100s. Mm-hmm. Nancy mentioned the utilities doing some rebates. Another great thing, especially useful for older homes, is a lot of utilities will do some sort of energy audit of your home. I know that my electric provider, they do an energy audit that they will give you energy efficient LED or fluorescent light bulbs. Yeah, yeah. They will, some of it is just they'll make recommendations like a programmable thermostat. Uh-huh. They, you know, kind of recommendations, you know, what's your schedule and what sort of temperature should you have it at? Some programs will even do things like look for air leaks in your house and help you weather strip windows and doors. Again, for older homes, that's super important. I live in a pretty drafty house that is always seems to be a pretty close temperature to whatever's going on outside. Yeah. So that would be super useful for that. Lots of different things on the energy saving front because it's a regular thing that we need, and you don't have to do something every day, like avoid a cup of coffee, but it's something that you should spend a little bit of time. It is worth spending a little bit of time to make sure you're getting the best out of that money you're spending.
Right, right. Now, Nancy, little final pin in everything, subscription services. This is the new bane of existence for everybody. I mean,
oh, it is.
I have to write it down just to tell, you know, all of what I've subscribed to, but how can you help cut some of that back?
And that's a tough one because now what we're subscribing to is something online. It's not something typically showing up in your mailbox, and it may be just a few dollars a month. So you think, well, it's just a few dollars a month, but those things add up. And so on a regular basis, maybe it's just once a year, go back, look at your bank statements, look at your credit card statements, look at your PayPal account, and see where you're spending money on things, those few dollars a month that are going out that you are not using.
Yeah.
At my house, it's the streaming services because it just adds up. We think there's this great program and we've got to watch it, and we're going to sign up for some trial period, and then it rolls over and here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Those things add up, especially when we start to see some of those subscription services start out at a small amount, and then they will gradually increase what they're charging you, and it's on an automatic either automatic draft or automatic charge on your credit card. So watch out for those.
Layman's tip that I have for subscription services, always put it on a prepaid card. That way, when your 30 days runs up and you don't want it anymore, you don't have to commit.
There we go.
I've got tricks for everything. I've got tricks for it all. Well, Money Talks is a production of MPB Think Radio and is funded in part by the generous financial support of our listeners. To hear today's show or previous shows, visit moneytalks.mpbonline.org or listen to our podcast. Search for Money Talks. Dr. Nancy Ryder, I've had a great time with you both. For Dr. Nancy Lotridge Anderson and Ryder Taft, I'm Jermaine Flood. Join us every Tuesday at 9 a.m. for Money Talks on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.